I love you know, talking. I guess the tenuous link is, let's talk about the right thing. It doesn't work. It was just a funny story. But there's something about getting to the heart of the issue, which I want to do over the next few weeks. And this is partly born out of my own journey, and partly born out of dealing with people, and partly born out of actually trying to understand how, as a church, we get to take this incredible finished work of Jesus and make it as real life to people as humanly possible. Do you get that? So that we just don't talk in rhymes and riddles and something that doesn't make sense to all your friends, because we want them to encounter Jesus. We want them to absolutely discover his love. We want them to go deep into his love. We want them to discover and grow in the purpose that God has and thrive. That's what we want, okay? And so in order to do that, there has to be something in our experience that attracts them, because nobody wants that po-faced, weirdo believer guy who brings up Jesus at the most inopportune moments. Isn't that right? And as much as Jesus has done something for you, actually what I find is that the greatest demonstration of what it's of Jesus in us will be what people see, how we live, and how we're able to not just say Jesus loves you, but look at what he did in me. Come and see a man, remember that, who told me everything about myself, yet I walked away with hope in my heart. Come and meet a man who was able to tell me my whole life, but look at me. I left with hope and excitement for my future. Come and meet that man. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to get right to the issue, because for me, what I find in my life is that the devil continually pushes the same buttons. Anybody? Oh, Jesus, help me, because I'm going to have to do a new sermon series. Well, I love the Lord. I want to be found in his love. I want to be found in the middle of his purpose, but there's the buttons in my life where he goes, pop. The devil comes along, and all of a sudden, bang, I find myself fighting shadows, fighting demons, fighting whatever. Anybody? Why is that? Because if it was for freedom that Christ has set us free, this is what has been going through my heart, then I wanna break the power of those buttons in my life that continually I bang my head against the wall with. And I want to do well. I want to please the Lord. I want to live for him. And boom, button pressed, and it, anybody? Oh, come on, help me out. Because the root of it is condemnation. That's what we're going to talk about. The root of everything in your life and the root of every stress is condemnation. I'm going to show that. And actually, when we look at Jesus, what we see is that his work was to go to the deepest part of your life and mine and the deepest part of who we are and to transform that bit from the inside out. And the root issue with human beings today, right, is condemnation. I'm going to explain about that in the next few weeks. Today, it's my introduction. I always give a sort of general introduction to a series. But I want us to remember, like, why does it matter? Well, if we remember to keep the main thing, which is Jesus himself, what he said and he made clear time and time again, was in John 10:10, I have come, the thief, now this is interesting, I'm going to pull this verse into later on, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have life much more abundantly. And the point is, I've explained this before, but let me just nail it because there's people listening online. Eternal life, according to Luke chapter 10, doesn't just focus on the future per se. That's not what it means. The word is ionos in Greek. And what it means is that it's the quality, what you possess right now is eternal life. So for believers, it's experiencing the quality of God life as a present possession and not something that's just in your future. So for where religion says you're saved and you're in the meeting, if you're sick, just hang on. If you're depressed, just hang on, because the greater glory is going to be heaven. It kind of Jesus cuts across that and he goes, no. This gospel is for now. See, wherever you're at, it's right now. This is God quality life in its fullness for you right now. I'll not steal from you. I'll not try to kill you. Actually, my whole thing for you is I want you to really thrive, and I really want you to do well. How does that happen? Well, eternal life, this ionos in John 17:4, is that they know you, the true God. These are the words of Jesus, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So I've said that a number of times, but that's the main point. And over these next few weeks, what I want, as we run up to Easter, I want to help you get to the root issue in your life. Because even Penny and I were talking about this yesterday, about what it means for us to come into church on a Sunday, okay? And I'm trying to peel back and go, Lord, why are the buttons still being pushed in us? And really, where's it rooted and how are you going to help us be healed in that? You know, it's like, you know, the danger with this is it turns into some kind of like Oprah-tastic kind of few weeks. It's the power in you, ooh, ooh, and you know, that sort of stuff, and kind of, well, I don't watch Oprah. I'm guessing what Oprah would be like, but do you know what I mean? Where it's almost, you know, because we have sicknesses in Christians, stresses, anxieties, and worries. There are millions upon millions of books and articles available to the believer today, written around how to have your best life, and da-da-da-da-da. And you know, for part of me, I kind of go, I get that. But why are there millions upon millions upon millions of them? Because obviously somebody hasn't got to the root of the issue. Because as soon as somebody gets to the root of the issue, you don't need all that. You get me? Like, get to the heart of it. Clinics and stuff like that, and doctors will tell you that around, it's a high percentage, depending on what studies you read, that 60 to 70% of illnesses, if you take Northern Ireland, 60 to 70% of the illnesses that are treated by GPs, according to the statistics, are rooted in mental health issues. Have their root there. In an area like this, it's much, much more. Why is that? And how can we help? I mean, because if this gospel doesn't help, then nothing helps. Remember I said if you're, the answer is not Jesus, then you're in trouble. And so we're going to get to the root of the issue, and the root of the issue is condemnation. It's a wee bit like leaves on a plant. We're the world's worst gardeners, Penny and I. We can kill those plants that, you know, it says on the label, can't be killed. You know those Tesco's good for 7 days? Give me 48 hours, that sucker's going to be keeled over, all right? It's a gift. Honestly, it's a gift. It's remarkable. So it actually is good for me because it gets me out of buying flowers for Penny. I don't buy Penny flowers. Not that I don't love her. It's just there's no point. They walk over the threshold and they go, vroom, pull them out. You know, it's absolutely remarkable. But it's like that. You know, in your life, what we do is we deal with the symptoms. We deal with I feel, you know, whether it's sickness, whether it's depression, whether it's worry. And what we're doing is we're continually chopping the leaves and pruning the leaves to try to make the thing look better. And actually what we need to understand is that underneath the soil that there are different roots that go on. And the deepest root is condemnation. I'm going to show you that today from the Bible, go right back to the very beginning, so that you have an understanding of how incredible Jesus' work is and how incredible he is. Because what we need to understand is that, you know, this is the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace doesn't tinker around the edges of your life. When you fully encounter Jesus, like the woman in the Samaritan at the well, whenever Jesus met her, he went right to the issue. He didn't just go, let me tickle your ears and tickle your fancy here and it's all going to be fine. He went, here's the issue. And he ministered right into it and she found her freedom. Now, if that's what the pattern is, then listen up to me over these next few weeks, because I kind of feel like in some ways I'm on this journey. I'm going to be really honest. And in some ways I've got so far to go. So I'm going to try to preach myself into a good place, as well as giving you what's on my heart, because I wouldn't be standing here today preaching this message if the Lord had not brought me so far already. Do you get me? But I feel like I've got so much further to go, because layer upon layer upon layer, I understand how deep condemnation goes in my life. And as deep as it goes, the grace of God goes deeper. Amen. Isn't that cool? And what you'll find is you'll start to look at other people differently too, because the root of their issue, whatever the tree looks like, whatever the fruit is manifesting, the root is condemnation. Is this making sense? Good. Yeah, that is good. I'm looking at his winkle. No, you're not. All right? Isn't that funny? Like, that is funny, isn't it? Anyway. The things that make me laugh. Anyway, so let's go right back to the beginning. Get your Bibles right. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 3. All right, right back to Adam. Because what happens is here, let's go, whenever we talk about grace transforming you from the inside out, his unmerited favor and his love completely transforming you and renewing you, I want you to understand that what that does, it's actually dealing with the root of condemnation first and everything else there flowing from it. Because you know, people live stressed, don't they? I mean, there's anxiety and stress and all that kind of stuff out there in the world today. Oh, let me just give you the order. That manifestation on the tree, if you like, is the root of that, okay, is fear. So whenever you live afraid of something, whenever you live in your mind, it could be a fear of failing, a fear of not having enough, a fear of death, or whatever it happens to be, the result of fear in your heart is that you see the manifestation of the curse in your life. Did everyone say yes? It's really important that you get there, okay? Now, in the world with psychology and with medicine, that's as far as they can go. They can help you to understand something of what's going on. So you see lots of sort of cognitive type theories going on. And what they are tools to help you understand what's going on in your thinking. But what it can't do is go below that. Because the answer is not psychological and it's not medical, it's spiritual. That's the truth of it. This is what the Word tells us. And actually, the world can't touch. Do you want to know why this gospel of grace matters? Because it can't. It's the only thing that can touch the real deepest need of your heart and your life. Things that medical stuff can't ever touch. The deepest root of all is condemnation. Because what happens is when there's condemnation, there will be fear. And I'm going to explain this a little bit later on. When you're afraid, it leads to stress. And when you're stressed, you're living in the curse. Get that? Okay, good. So when we go back to Genesis and we go right at the beginning, this is why the gospel really matters. You see that Adam was planted. Whenever you look at Adam, he was planted in the middle of a finished work. People don't realize that. It was perfect. Nothing could be added to it. This is obviously before Jesus, before the fall. But Adam was planted into the middle of perfection. Nothing could be added to it. The devil, everything had been prepared for him. All he had to do was enjoy it. And he walked with God in the cool of the day. And he enjoyed fellowship with God, and it was unbroken. Now, what happens is when the devil comes along, he told him that he had to do something in order to qualify for what was already provided by God. All right? This is what happens. And so it's a case of the devil giving him a mistaken identity. We read this in Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. You will surely not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, it's the tree of good knowledge and good and evil, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. All right? So this is what comes along. The devil comes along and says to him, hey, let's just mix this up a little bit. Your identity is, but I'm going to suggest to you that it's really something else. You can be just like God, all right? In fact, at this stage, he probably was, that if you go into some of the words and stuff. In Genesis 3:19, then, we see poverty, sickness, and death in Adam's life. But before that manifestation of poverty, sickness, and death, there was stress. Okay? So underneath it is stress, because we see this in Genesis 3:19. God says to him, in the sweat of your face you will eat bread. So sweat speaks of stress and self-effort. That's what's going on there. So we see the manifestation. We see that the devil comes along, starts to speak right into who he is. And the result of this, he eats of the tree of free and of knowledge of good and evil. I'll come to that in a minute. And then we see poverty, sickness, and death as a manifestation in his life. That's what we see. We see all the broken bits, all right? We go a little bit underneath it, and we see that actually it's driven by the manifestation is stress. Now, if we go a little bit deeper, if we go to Genesis 3, verse 10, we see that the stress in Adam's life was built on fear. This is what Adam said to God when God asked him where he was. He says, Adam, where are you? This is after the fall. He says, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. I was naked, and I hid myself. So Adam was afraid. He was fearful, which led to stress, which led to the manifestation of the curse. Do you get that? Now, actually, when we go one level deeper in the story of Adam, we see that the deeper root of fear is condemnation. The point I'm trying to make is this: where did it all start? Because we understand fear. We understand that when we live afraid, we feel stressed. When we feel like we don't have enough or it's not going to work, we see that whenever we're living that way, the manifestation of what that looks in our life. And what we have to do is we have to go to this story and go right back at the very beginning when God designed it. Where did it go wrong? Because if that's where it went wrong, that's where Jesus comes to fix. Does that make sense? And as I've started to think upon this in real life, I've gone, oh, goodness. You know, Lord, I've understood that there's no condemnation. I'm going to explain that verse in a minute. But actually, I want to live there. Because what happens is when it's not done from the inside, the very center of who we are, the devil can come along, push the condemnation button, whatever it looks like for you, you then start to feel afraid, then you then start to feel stressed, and then you have the manifestation of that in your life. Yeah? And if this gospel means anything to us, it means he goes to the deepest, darkest recesses of our lives and goes, come and meet me, and I'll set you free indeed. Amen. No judgment. No condemnation, in fact. No could try hard. It's just come and meet me, and I will show you everything in there, and you'll walk away with hope. Isn't he amazing? Isn't he amazing? So let's look at it. So where did the condemnation come in Adam? Because we understood here that by the sweat of his brow, he's stressed, he's having to produce now, etc., etc. But why did he feel condemned? What had gone on? It was because we know that he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, listen to me. This is really key. It's interesting that it's not the tree of sin. So you would kind of think, well, where's this come from? Well, he ate of the tree of sin, and therefore sin came in his life, brother. You know? Them old putrid apples, as we were talking about last night. He ate of them. He ate of the tree of evil. No, he didn't. He didn't eat of the tree of sin. He didn't eat of the tree of evil, and so therefore he took it in, and evil was the result. It says here that he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, why did that cause Adam to sin? Because there's the root. Well, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a picture of what? It's a picture of the law. Because it is the law that gives you the knowledge of good and evil. So the Bible says, and actually in Romans 3:20, it is by the law that is the knowledge of sin. So what we do understand, and those of you who have been around this church for a while, is that we know that God didn't give the law to man to live by so that in order it could make him holy. Isn't that right? That was kind of English in there somewhere. Okay? God didn't say, here's the law, do this and it'll make you right. Well, the whole point of God giving the law was, look at this, there is no chance that you're going to make it, you're going to need a Savior. All right? So what we understand is that where does that intuitive thing in us come from? What is it rooted in? Well, as soon as Adam ate from what? The knowledge of good and evil, he then had the knowledge of sin. That's the whole point. The law brings about the knowledge of sin. And what happens when you have the knowledge of sin in your life? You feel condemned. Do you get that? And that's where it's rooted in. From now on, whenever you hear the word law, think of the word condemnation, and it'll probably help you. Don't think about doing right. Don't think about doing wrong. But the whole point of the law was to condemn you. That was its whole purpose, was not to point you to yourself, but was to say, here's the standard. And the point of the law was to bring condemnation, even though it is just and it is holy. And so what happens is whenever Adam eats of the tree, not the tree of sin, not the tree of evil, he eats of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and as soon as he understands and is enlightened, as soon as he has the knowledge of sin, condemnation comes. So it's the law at the very beginning. Is this making sense? Because I'll give you some real-life examples in a minute. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians 3:7-9. Now, if the ministry of death carved in letters on stone, this is the commandments, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory. Remember when Moses goes to get the law, he comes down glowing and they have to turn their face. And what he's saying is now, you know, if that's being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit, that's Jesus in you, have even more glory? For if there was a glory in the ministry of condemnation, all right? So the ministry of the law was to condemn and never to save. Ever to save. But we continually ready reckon ourselves against a set of rules to go, how am I doing? And it's that knowledge of how we're doing and that knowledge of feeling that we're falling short is where our resulting condemnation comes from. Yeah? That's what happened with Adam. But if the ministry of the Spirit has even more glory, for there is more glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Now, this is good. This is really good. This is saying that, you know, if this ministry of condemnation, which goes right back to the garden, had a certain amount of glory, and it's so much more the ministry of righteousness. You know, we live now under the finished work of Jesus, and his ministry is just righteousness, acceptable to God. That's all it means. This ministry will bring about far more glory in your life than the law ever would. But the issue is that at our root still, there is the issue of the law which keeps pushing our buttons. Let me tell you why. What's the tactic of the enemy in this? And I always love to preach Jesus and Jesus alone. I always love to elevate Jesus and his finished work, but we need to be aware of the way that the enemy works in our lives, particularly around this issue. Because let me tell you what condemnation looks like. You know, I think the devil's so much cleverer than psychiatrists, psychologists, and most preachers, actually. Because in the same way that what we have is we have people dealing with the outside. We have people dealing with the leaves on the trees. God, I feel so stressed. I feel so tired. I feel so unfulfilled. I feel like I'm a bad parent. I feel like I'm not fulfilled in my work. I feel like my ministry is not working. Oh, well, read this book. Go on this retreat. Do this here. Do that there. Blah, 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 blah. I think the enemy wants you to knock yourself out doing that. I had an enlightening moment this week where I understood why this church has been under so much pressure. Because when you preach the gospel of grace, you're going to the heart of the issue with people. And there's such a plan of God on this place and what we're joined into. And the devil goes full scale out whenever somebody goes, the gospel of grace will go to the deepest core of you and you will walk away free from condemnation. Do you get that? That's what it's about. That's the game. Lift up your head. Lift up your eyes to see what you've been called in for. You've been called into the greatest message that will save all of humanity, and it lives in you. Do you not think that the devil stands against it? He'll let you read all the Oprahs of the day, all right? All the Jeremy Kyle shows you want to watch, all right? Because he doesn't deal with peripherals. He's quite happy to let you deal with the superficial. Stick a plaster on your life all day long. I actually don't think he cares that much. Get you ready. I still want to kill you, steal from you, and destroy. But if you're preoccupied with everything that's not the main issue, then I think he says knock yourself out. But when you start to get a revelation of Jesus and you start to see how deep he goes into your heart, you start to get a revelation of Jesus and start to understand what this finished work really does, then I think there's some attention in principalities and powers to what's going on. You get that? And that starts to make me feel quite excited. The first name of the enemy is not... You know, it says the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The first name given to the enemy was not thief. It was not murderer. It was not stealer. That's the same word as thief, isn't it? You need to help me out. I've got a wee bit of a headache going on this morning. Thief, kill, murderer. Anyway, make those up. They weren't his first names, all right? Does anyone know what the first name given to Satan is, or the first name given to the enemy in the Bible is? I've just told you it. Satan, Hasatan in Hebrew, and it means to accuse. But listen up. In Hebrew, the word for Satan is Hasatan. It means a prosecutor of what? Of the law. So think about it, even today. What is the role of a prosecutor in a court of law? He's there to prosecute, and he's there to condemn. He doesn't get up and go, see my Jimsy? Like if Majimsy, I'm picking on you because you're in front of me. So Majimsy's in the dock, Christopher. If somebody's prosecuting you, they don't stand up and go, he's not a bad fella. All right? You've all seen enough legal dramas, haven't you? He's not bad. I mean, in the big run of things, I mean, he's not the worst. But he just happened to mess up on this particular occasion, but let's not let that define him, all right? Because really, he's okay. That's not what a prosecutor does, do they? They relentlessly pursue you. What they do is they never talk about what's good about you. They never talk about your positive points. They bring up all the dirty laundry and they relentlessly pursue you and accuse you until you are condemned. Hasatan, the accuser, the prosecutor of the law. That was his first name. And when you see that condemnation is his main tactic, what you'll see is actually this is why I need to live in grace. The devil's name tells us that he goes not to the peripheral, but he goes to the root of your problem and he pushes the buttons and he accuses every time. And when he accuses, the result is fear. And when you feel fear, 1 John 4:18 tells us that we need perfect love to cast out fear. Why? Because fear's got to do with what? With punishment. So when you feel you're going to be punished, you can't receive. And so the result of that is that stress comes into your life and the curse is manifest, even as a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christian. The root is condemnation. Is this making sense? Because I'm teeing this up for next few weeks. It's interesting to me. So he'll not come along to me and go, neglect your children. See Hope and Sophie, neglect them. That's not accuser. That's steal, kill, destroy. That's where we live. That's the devil's like that. What does he do? He comes alongside you and says, you're not a good dad. See the difference? The nuance and the subtlety. The devil doesn't come along and go, cheat on your wife. But he'll come along and go, you're not a good husband. Accusation. He'll not come along and say, burn the church down. Okay? If he does, can you let me know? Because you're clearly in heaven. All right? Yeah. Just let me get my computer out because I've all my photos on it. All right? But what he'll do, he'll come along and he'll whisper and he'll accuse and he'll say, well, you can't receive because of what you did 2 weeks ago. You've got a broken marriage. That's not going to work. Okay? And all of a sudden then, deep at our root, the button's pressed. I'm not good enough. What's he done? Just like he did with Adam, he gave you a mistaken identity. Because now what he's doing is he's prosecuting you under the law, which is just and holy. Okay? He's pointing at the weakness that you already know's there. And the truth of it is, deep in us, the result is fear. God won't heal me because actually I'm not that good. God can't bless me because I screwed up my marriage. God, you know, won't bless my family, or I can't really receive in fullness because I'm not a great dad. Do you get that? And the root of it is, under the law, you are guilty. All of the things that he says, but thanks be to God for Jesus, who took every demand of the law, nailed it to the cross, boom, and said, you go free. And so the issue for me is that we see that believers deal on the periphery, but the devil himself goes to the root. So let's deal with the root so that he's got nothing to play with. And I see in my own life, time and time and time again, the Lord peeling back and going, condemnation, condemnation. So can I be really honest? Well, see, when people say that, it makes you think they're just total liars, don't you? Like, everything I've said up until this point is complete bunkum. But it's not. So, like, even Penny and I were talking yesterday and going, sometimes it's hard for us to come to church because we feel like failures. Okay, so my fear is, so let's just unpack this in real life so you can understand it. So sometimes during the week, we live in, well, we don't live in stress. I don't mean it like that. But that's kind of, the force just being, we don't believe in the force, do we? You know, like, there's an interruption in the force, Luke, okay? But you know what I mean? It's like you're yin and you're yang. We don't even believe in yin or yang, I think, but do we? That's kind of dodgy Eastern stuff. But you get my point, don't you? That sort of unsettling in the force, right? Gee whiz. All right. And so you kind of go, well, yesterday Penny and I were talking this through, and I'm going, Penny, the truth of it, here's the button that the devil presses in me, is you're crap at this. Look at what's gone on in the past. Look at the people who have walked away. Look at everything that they said. Da, 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 da. So you start, you feel it. You feel afraid. And then when you feel afraid, you feel stressed. You go, okay? Too honest? Good. I would tell business people, vulnerability builds trust. And I know it's a line, but I just want you to know what it's like. Because you're going to draw a line to somewhere in your life where you go, no, I get that. So the devil doesn't come along to me and say, you're no good, God doesn't love you. Because clearly I can point him to the word and say, Jesus died for me and he loves me. But what he'll do is he'll come along and say, you're crap at that. Look at your history. Look at what people say. This is all your fault. If they only really knew. And what's he doing? He's going to the root of the issue. Every time. And can I just be really honest? I'm sick of it. Anyone? I am totally sick of it. In my own life. If Christ died to bring me freedom, then flippin' Nora, I want it. I don't even like saying 110%. It doesn't make sense. But 100% of 100% of it. I don't want to have fairy stories that people tell me of what Jesus did for them. I want to live it. Do you know why? Because that's what Jesus said, John 10 and John 17. I want you to experience this. I want you to live in it. And what I'm seeing time and time again is this gospel of grace has got to get to my core. This finished work of Jesus has got to free me from the buttons and the roots in my life, because it's all rooted in condemnation. Please, God, I hope this is making sense. Just give me a wave if this is making sense. Okay, that's good. Because I know I'm, yeah. What happens is the devil will accuse you until you feel condemned. And he uses the law. That's the thing. The law, which is good, it's holy, it's just, he uses that and he turns it to condemn you. And that's why condemnation is the root of the issue. It's so subtle. And it's often why it goes undetected in our lives. Because what we do is we get distracted and we go for the outside things. And the Lord, whenever he, when you start to see this and you start to look at the way Jesus operated with people, you'll see that he went straight to the issue. He ripped out condemnation by the roots. Why? Because he knew that that's where everything else would flow from. That kind of mistaken identity. And it's interesting for me that, you know, the devil has no other tactic. He's no other weapon. You know, the only way that the devil can enforce the curse in your life is through the root of condemnation. Is that good? No? So this is my introduction. This is my starter for 10. You know one of my favorite verses? And for those of you who know me, my favorite book in the whole Bible is the book of Romans, Paul's masterpiece of grace. But in Romans chapter 8, the chapter of victory, which I'll come to in a few weeks, it says this in Romans 8, verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can I just Greek this up for you? Therefore is the word ara. It means under these circumstances. It follows that in light of everything that I've just said, which is chapters 1 to 7, and we'll go through some of that. In these circumstances, now there is, so now is the word num, immediately, no gap, no waiting. There is no, is udes, which is a powerful negating conjunction. It rules out by definition, shuts the door and leaves no exception, all right? So as a present possession, what it means is this, therefore, in light of everything that's just gone on, which is Jesus and his work, right now, immediately, with no double speak, no way of it being anywhere else, no exceptions, as your present possession for you right now, there is no condemnation. None. Because of what Jesus has done. The word condemnation is actually katakrima in Greek. What it means is this. It means that there's a sentence handed down, I am guilty, after due process. So you know what the thing is? See, when you mess up, you're right. Under the law, you're guilty. You're done. So after due process, there's a sentence handed down. And there's a state and there's a punishment which is due from that. All of that is holy and right and just according to the law. But the thing is, the devil can only point to the law and say, this is where you're breaking it. But you need to point to Jesus and say, under his finished work, there is none of that because he took every bit of the law, every T that needed crossed, every I that needed dotted, every demand that was put on me was met by him, so that now I am free indeed. Amen. Is that not good news? That is it. So therefore, right now, this amazing words for me, it cuts across my experience as a believer. It cuts across it every time. Everything that doesn't go my way, deep down what's happening is the devil can push it and say, the result of your breaking of the law is that. And then I feel afraid, then I feel stressed, then it manifests itself in my life. But the root of it, I'm going to get in the next couple of weeks to look at that root and how grace transforms it. It's a beautiful demonstration here, okay? I think in this verse of where we need to get to. And I pray over these next few weeks that you really press in with me on this one. Lean in, as we say in the business world. Lean in. Because you don't need to go around bouncing, 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 bouncing with the same old. I don't know what your buttons are, but do you know what they are? You know how you react. I was working with somebody recently, and she said something which I found just really interesting. Who are you, and who are you really under pressure? Really made me think. Because when I'm under pressure, what I see is that there's a root of condemnation in my heart that the Lord still needs to unpeel, unpack, and heal. And so what Penny and I decided, even coming in here today, was, you know, we're not look left or right, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, because whatever the devil throws at us, week after week after week, for me, it's you're no good. Okay? You're no good. You're not called. You're not cut out for this. Da-da-da-da-da. Same button, same button, same button. And then it all comes. And I thought to myself, flippin', Nora, there's a root there that's deeper than what I thought it was. It needs healed. I need to receive grace upon grace to get that root of condemnation out of my heart. Because when that goes, I'm living free. Does that make sense? What is it for you? Do you work yourself to the bone because you're afraid that God doesn't provide because somewhere deep down, it's rooted in condemnation, mistaken. I'm not a son who can receive. I need to prove. I can't. What is it? But I'll tell you, whatever the manifestation is on the top, it's rooted in condemnation. It's rooted in that mistaken identity. It's rooted in, I can't receive because there's something wrong with me under the law. Thanks be to God for Jesus, huh? Yeah. So, see, as I look down here, I'm thinking, half of them have got, half of them are like, it's roasting in here. When's he going to finish? I wanted to read these verses because I'm going to unpack some of them in a few weeks. It's from the Message version. And it's from the Victory chapter, Romans 18. So what do you think? With God on our side, like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, excuse me, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything that he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Isn't that cool? Who would even dare to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, right now, sticking up for us. Do you think that anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? See, in as much as you have the accuser, Hasatan, the prosecutor of the law, knows it inside out, knows every time you break it, you have got an advocate before the Father this morning, all right? And every time I think of those accusing words, I think of Jesus and that ministry of righteousness which exceeds in glory. And the Lord's been showing me this week. Every time you think that, what I want you to do is go to that place in your heart and your mind where you see Jesus. And what he does, he doesn't plead before the Father. He simply shows him his hands and the nail prints. And he shows him his work and he goes, it's done, it's finished, it's complete. That law was completely met. Every bit of it. For me. And so that he can accuse all he wants. If I give him place for that, that's fine, because I just need to look at Jesus, look at my Savior and go, before the Father, before the judge and the righteous one, I am free. That's what he's saying here. But let me get back to that. There is no way, not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying, threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I am absolutely convinced that nothing, neither living or dead, angelic, demonic, today, tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Amen. So what are we going to say to condemnation this week, folks? We're going to say, there is no condemnation because I am in Christ Jesus. Okay, I'm going to talk about that next week. You have to be in Christ Jesus to have the gift of no condemnation. All right? It's not found anywhere else outside of Jesus. So I want you to listen very carefully this week as you and what's going through your head and your heart. I want you to take a look at your life and go, Lord, you show me this week. Give me Holy Spirit inspiration for the buttons that keep getting pressed in my life. And you show me the root of that. And show me where it's rooted in me being condemned under the law. And you show me how your grace has overcome it. You show me where I'm believing the wrong stuff about who I am. Where I've taken the wrong identity not an identity of a son under grace, as a daughter under grace, completely, perfectly acceptable to you, righteous, as holy as I am today, as I will forever will be, thank you to Jesus. Where have I taken on something else? Listen to what's going on in here, and the Holy Spirit will show you and go deep into your heart and go, this is why you are seeing this in your life, and let me heal this. Let me heal this root of condemnation in your life. Amen? Oh, I promise you, it's good. It's good. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free, folks. I believe that people who worry themselves sick, work themselves to the bone, whatever it is, it's all rooted in there. And also, it's this church in 2017, and I said this is a year of victory. This is I just have that sense of the Lord unpacking that for me to go, preach this because there's victory in it for people. Share this because there's victory in it.